via snail mail, and she sucks at writing letters. Care packages? She rocks them. But no letters. No words. It was the Hattie way to arrive right before school started each year. This was our last spin on the Schofield High merry-go-round. We were finally seniors. It's hard to pinpoint when Hattie Darrow became my social oxygen. It didn't start out that way, and I don't think she meant it to happen any more than I did. We'd been best friends for almost 6 years, and it must have been gradual, like how our bones grew longer and our faces lost their baby plump. We didn't notice that either. Right now, I couldn't drag my eyes from these clouds. They seemed alive, the way they moved as one. A driver behind me beeped, and I jerked my attention back to the road. That's when I saw, 4 cars ahead, Hattie, driving her 85 VW Rabbit convertible. The top was down, and she had her blonde hair in a ponytail. Her shoulders were tan, and I recognized the white straps of the shirt we picked out the day before she left in June. "Snowcap!" I cried, shamelessly. Her car is black with a white top, like the movie candy. "You're home!" I nosed up on the SUV ahead of me, but nobody was moving. I watched Hattie's head dip to a beat, so I knew she had music on, which meant she was singing. Badly. I turned up the radio to see if her beat matched whatever songs played on our stations, but there were only commercials. Why was she back already? We rolled past Mighty Bean, the cafe that may as well be part of Schofield High School. Normally, I would hunker down so nobody could recognize me, but I reached for my phone instead, thinking I could at least call. I saw a cop car in my rearview mirror and practically heard Hattie say, "Watch it, Johnny Law's on the case." A laugh bubbled out of me. My need to be out of the suffocating pantyhose became unbearable. Hattie wouldn't have been caught dead in them. They were a crime against the natural world, those hose. I wondered if I could slip out of them while driving. But the used Ford Fiesta I shared with my older brother Scott was a stick shift, requiring a foot on the clutch. Besides, the knot of cars scuttled forward. This was my chance. Hattie zipped ahead, under the commuter rail bridge. I lost her. Johnny Law hooked a right toward the train station, so I buzzed around a pickup and under the bridge. I passed the sports shop. A mannequin clad in pastel golf clothes pointed his club toward Snowcap, cheering me on in the kind of Schofield style Hattie would have found hilarious. I gained on her. Only a silver Jaguar separated us, driven by a coiffed matriarch I vaguely recognized as a friend of my parents. She wasn't my concern, but I tapped the horn, hoping to get Hattie's attention without seeming obnoxious. Hattie's head remained stubbornly focused on the road ahead. The light turned green, and we were off again, down the big hill beside the graveyard. We passed the library, then the police station. At the next light, I leaned my head out the window. "Hattie!" Jaguar lady cast an uneasy glance in her rear view. I smiled weakly. Hattie remained oblivious, engaged in pulling the elastic from her hair, smoothing a new ponytail, and retwisting the elastic, a habit she claimed was unconscious. Though I couldn't see her face, I knew she held the elastic in her teeth. "Hattie!" I yelled louder. Nothing. "Hey! Harriet!" I bellowed. Jaguar lady's eyebrows disappeared under her puffy gray bangs. Hattie's head maintained its metronomic dance. Is she ignoring me? A pathetic part of me wondered for a breath. I recognized the familiar anxiety swooping over me like a huge bird, ready to land. All it needed was the opportunity, and it would roost. No, I told myself. Hattie wouldn't ignore me. Of course not. But the light turned green, and she sped off. Alpha wolf of the traffic pack. The gap between her and the Jaguar widened. I pressed the gas and passed.